In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.
Recently, the parish council and I went to a retreat on a couple Friday evenings, and the name of the ministry is called doulos. And the word doulos is the very word that is used in Greek when you receive communion, and we say, the servant of God, so-and-so, receives the precious body and blood. We translate it in the liturgy, and we tend to have it translated as servant, but it also is the same word, and as easily translated, slave. Of course, the word slave comes with its own baggage, and it comes with its own ideas, and so we prefer, or we have been using, the word servant. In the biblical text, regardless of whether we use servant or slave, there is a very black and white presentation of the gospel and what we believe, which is essentially that all of us are slaves, no matter what. That we are either slaves to the world, the flesh, our flesh, and the devil, or we are slaves of God. And if you read some of the early church writings, you'll see it's often presented in this very black and white way. Are you being a slave to your flesh, meaning that your sinful nature tells you and controls you and makes you do everything that you do? Are you a slave to the world, to the system, to the man who essentially sets the status quo of every day and age, and creates a sort of peer pressure, the spirit of the air teaching people how to live and how to be, and we go along with it? Are you a slave to the devil? Are you demonized? Have you given yourself over in a way where every time you go to work, you do his bidding? Contrasted with this idea of being a slave of God, someone who is imbued with the Holy Spirit, who has the Holy Spirit residing within them, and prays and lives in faith, and in every action and in every aspect of life is guided and brought into all truth by the Holy Spirit to do the works of Christ, to be the body of Christ. Now, to add some nuance, I realize that the black and white equation isn't really realistic for all of us. But it is helpful to paint dramatic dichotomies and to be able to contrast them so that we can see what our ultimate calling is. That we are called, and we hear this in the baptism service, to renounce the world, our sinful fleshly nature, and the devil, and we are called to become slaves of Christ, people who listen to his voice and seek to do his will. In today's epistle, we hear the Apostle Paul, he says, all things I can partake of. What a dramatic statement of freedom this is. There's nothing that Paul feels like that he can't do. This is a paradox of his slavery. His slavery to God has made him completely free. He goes on to say, but not everything is profitable. And that he avoids those things that will take him over, that will ultimately control him, that he doesn't want to be bound by anything. He's already united himself to Christ. He wants to be bound by no other thing. If we interject this into the gospel today, we hear about the young son who goes off and sells himself into slavery, which is the understanding that we can read in the commentaries, that as he joins himself to a foreign citizen, some will say this is a selling his soul essentially, that he becomes trapped in the pig pen, starving spiritually, but that ultimately he's a slave. Before this, he was a slave to his passions because he took everything that God gave him and he just spread it abroad wantonly. He spent his inheritance, every good thing that was given to him, he used for partying. He used for pleasure to satisfy the desires of his flesh. He used it for partying, which is also for status. He used it for partying, which ultimately led him under the slavery of the devil. So he finds himself sick, starving in the pig pen. And the pig pen is analogous to the world we live in. Now, if you would think about it, we don't really think about our world as a pig pen. I mean, there's a lot of good about it, right? There's so much good that can be done, and the beauty of the earth, and family, and all of these things. But in scriptural terms, the pig pen is this fallen world. And how easy it is to be dead, spiritually dead, and spiritually empty, and spiritually starving within this fallen world. Now, what we do as American citizens, we have ways of decorating the pig pen, unique ways to our culture. We have given ourselves over to materialism, of course. It keeps the economy growing, it keeps us funding our military, it keeps us safe, right? Go buy things. And the things we buy that we plant around us, wonderful things, they comfort us. They make us feel well. They give us a sense of security. Bigger houses, more clothes, better vehicles, better science, better technology. The whole world, the whole universe in the palm of our hands. We don't even have to type anymore. We just ask Siri what to do and she tells us. Or Alexa. It's a nice pig pen in a sense. Video games all day if I want to. Now the only problem with all of this is that as fun as video games are and these various things and as nice as we find our entrapments, there's still a gilded cage. It's still, in biblical terms, a pig pen. And as we give ourselves over to each individual thing, we become slowly indebted. Physically, you know, with our actual debt, the most indebted country in the world. Secondarily, our soul becomes dominated by passions for these things. I think I own my house owns me. I think I own my car, but my car owns me. In my soul, I have given myself over to ideologies. I think they're my opinions, but more often than not, they control me, they push me. They don't help me see other people as human beings. They pigeonhole me. They make me a political person. Politics is one example. Think about it with entertainment. Do you realize nowadays you literally never have to go a minute without entertainment? And then beyond that, you can come and you can project life as though life is entertainment. As though you're actually removed from it and just watching it. We become slaves to entertainment, slaves to our passions. All of this, of course, the world being the spirit of the air, the spirit of our times, our flesh being our desires for pleasure, being our desires to avoid pain, and the devil, who himself orchestrates and sometimes facilitates facilitates our slavery. How are we to wake up from that? How are we to somehow open our eyes and see what the year 2000 movie The Matrix calls, to see that we are slaves in a way that we don't want to be, and to wake up and see that there's a different possibility for liberation. Well, the only way to wake up, unfortunately, is by experiencing the poverty of our situation, by experiencing the starvation, by noticing that we are eating junk food that doesn't heal us or fill our souls, and by gradually our heart awakening by God's grace to give us a yearning for something greater than this. And it's surprising how many people have this yearning. This yearning that tells us that somehow this rat race we're in is garbage. That somehow our life has become meaningless in this day and age. That somehow, even though our culture says certain things don't matter, that they're okay, that they make me feel guilty, that they burden my soul. Isn't there something better? Isn't there something that God intended that was better for us? I've heard many people say, is this all there is? Is this it? I go to work, I go home, I have these few pleasures. Is that it? Well, as Christians, one of the fundamental bases with reading in the Gospels is that we are meant to yearn for the kingdom of heaven, that we are to pursue it, that we are to take those feelings of emptiness, starvation, and that we are to return to the Father's house. It is precisely the reason we have those feelings. And if you have any of those feelings, they're a sign for you. Something in you is not being fed. Something about you is wandering in the desert, trying to find satisfaction in this world. And you need to turn back home. Now, the parable goes on to show what love the Father manifests with the repentance of the Son. How the Father receives his lost son back and clothes him in the best garment and provides for him with all this love. Restores him and sacrifices for him and ultimately makes merry at the return. This is the image we have of God the Father. This is the image of the Trinity who always receives us back as the minute we turn and turn from our ways and turn towards life. More importantly for us, I think it's good to have that image of the Father, but more importantly for us, I think it is good for us to get in touch with a core of our being, to think about our dissatisfactions, to begin to think about our own slaveries and the ways that we've given ourselves over to our own flesh, to the world, or to the devil himself. You see, as I began in the beginning, we are slaves no matter what we do. One type of slavery leads to the freedom that Paul speaks of. The freedom to discern what is good for us. The freedom to walk in a newness of life. The freedom to be guided by the Holy Spirit. The other type of slavery leads to death and destruction. A sense of shame, a sense of guilt, a sense of being ground to a pulp by this world, which seeks to eat us alive. And so, to go back to the black and white choice that you can interject into every moment of your life, is this choice for my flesh, for the world, for the devil, or am I choosing Christ? This is the spirit we're asked to carry around with all of our decisions, with all of our entertainments, with all that we do as we try to make our way back to the heavenly kingdom, as we survive and live within the pig pen. May our Lord God bless us and fill us and help us find home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.